Our latest update, number 775, dated March 3, 2017, had quite a few articles in there with a common theme. One article, which was published by the New York Times, dated February 23, had the headline, "Migrants Face Deportations and Walls in Europe, Too." Another article published by The Telegraph, dated February 27, talks about deportations of EU citizens from Britain, which was followed up by an article by the BBC, dated March 1, "Will EU nationals have the right to stay in the UK after Brexit?" Then there's an article by the AFP, dated February 24, about violent attacks against migrants in Germany. Now, this is interesting in light of the fact that Europeans have been very critical of the immigration policy here in the United States. Then there's an article which we published by Der Spiegel, "Scandal in Germany, BND spied on foreign journalists." BND, the German Foreign Intelligence Agency. Remember how at some time ago Angela Merkel was so upset with the American FBI and CIA because they spied on her and on her cell phone. Now, the list is ongoing. We heard about President Trump attacking the media, saying that this is the enemy of the people, only later to change his story. We all heard him say recently, a couple of days ago actually, that he approved of the Keystone Pipeline, but that they must use U.S. steel. He said, "Oh, we are not building it." Well, now the Wall Street Journal reported on March 3 that the Keystone Pipeline will not use American steel in its construction, despite of what President Trump has said, and that the language in the directive Mr. Trump issued had to do with new pipelines or those under construction. Then an ongoing Twitter war is reported about by Mrs. Pelosi, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and of course Mr. Trump, and of course Mr. Schumer. And it had to do with the attacks by Nancy Pelosi against certain ones in the White House, to the effect that they had contact with the Russian ambassador, and then it became clear that she herself had it too. Now, first she had completely denied that she had ever met the ambassador, and then a photograph was published where she was right there, and she said, oh, she meant she didn't meet with him alone. Of course, there are many more examples I could give. If you can go back in time, you remember perhaps Newt Gingrich, at that time the Speaker of the House, demanding impeachment of Bill Clinton for lying about his extramarital affair, while Mr. Gingrich himself had an extramarital affair at the same time. Remember perhaps Mr. Bill Clinton looking into the camera and saying, "I did not have sex with this woman," only to later state, "Oh, I didn't understand the question. I didn't know what you meant by sex." You have other interesting developments. Now it became known that Vice President Pence used a personal email account while serving as governor, while condemning Hillary Clinton for using a personal email account while being a Secretary of State. And of course, you had the most recent situation with now Attorney General Jeff Sessions, quote-unquote misunderstanding questions by the senators during his confirmation hearing. When he was asked whether he had any contact with the Russians, he said no. And then later he said, "Oh, I didn't know that you were talking about doing the campaign, having to do with the campaign." So on and on it goes. And I could give you a lot more examples. But what common denominator would you say all of this kind of describes? What would be one word you could use to say, well, this is kind of describing these kind of facts and news, and you might say politics? Well, you would be right. Yes, it has a lot to do with politics, but frankly, it goes beyond that. What all these examples have in common is hypocrisy. And so I'd like a little bit to talk about hypocrisy today. Hypocrisy can be defined as an act of claiming to believe something but acting in a different manner. The word is derived from the Greek term of actor, literally somebody who is wearing a mask, someone who pretends to be what he is not. It can also be defined as the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. We all know a passage which Jesus Christ talked about in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, and I don't want to go into that right now, just giving it to you as reference, where he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And then later, he defined, and you can find this in Matthew 16 and verse 12, that the leaven he was talking about was the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Doctrine, teaching, conduct, behavior. So he said, beware of that. Beware of that kind of leaven, that kind of conduct, that kind of behavior, because it is hypocrisy. Why does he compare it with leaven? Now, leaven puffs up. And in the context of sin, leaven may make someone appear bigger than one really is. It seems to be huge and righteous and godly, but it's all fake. Again, in Mark chapter 7, a passage you should all know, verses 6 to 7, Christ talks about hypocrites who honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And as a consequence, he says, you keep human traditions while you are rejecting God's law. Now, he is talking about hypocrisy in that context. Another one very famous in Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 to 28. Where he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. So he's not leaving anyone out, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. Woe to you, he says, you hypocrites. And then he gives one example. You outwardly appear righteous to man, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Lawlessness, the transgression of God's law. Now I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Because he here gives another example. An example which is very interesting in light of the introductory comments I made when people do something and say something which they then backpedal on or which they accuse others of while they themselves are guilty of them themselves. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 3, Christ is talking exactly about that. Matthew 7 and verse 3, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, verse 4, let me remove the speck out of your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Verse 5, hypocrite, hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. So here he is talking about hypocrites who find fault with someone else while they are guilty of much bigger faults themselves. Now, in our update, it was announced that I will be speaking about, amongst other things, where we are in prophecy and what's next. So let's look at that in the context of hypocrisy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 gives us an interesting description of the end times. And when you read that, it becomes obvious that we are living in the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul is saying, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, times of stress, as it can be translated as well. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. A typical description of a hypocrite. But what does Paul say? How does he conclude his statement? And from such people turn away. A parallel passage in Titus 1 verse 16, again, I don't want to turn there, talks about people who profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Here are people who have a form of godliness. They might even talk about the Bible. They might even talk about some religious concepts, in most cases totally wrong, the way they put it. But they deny God's power. They deny that God is powerful, that God can actually do something for them. And from those, Paul is saying, turn away. Now, if you go back to the introductory comments, that tells us, turn away from politics. Turn away from politicians. Don't even in your own mind try to kind of go on the same wavelengths with them. Because here's a description of politics, of politicians, and of the people in the end time. Notice in Isaiah chapter 10 what God is clearly telling us about this nation. Because a time will come, and it's not far, that is going to take place, what I'm going to read to you now in Isaiah chapter 10 and in verse 6. He's talking about a future king of Assyria. He's saying in verse 5, woe to him, woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger. But then what does he say in verse 6? Now we should all know who Assyria is today. It's modern Germany, modern Austria. And the king of Assyria is going to be the coming leader of a united Europe under German or Austrian, but in all likelihood German, leadership, and he himself will be a German. I said perhaps an Austrian, but it's going to be Germany leading this United States of Europe. But as we have just seen, Europe is filled with hypocrites, and as we now see, America is filled with hypocrites. Because it goes on to say in verse 6, here in the New King James, it says, I will send him against an ungodly nation. The Authorized Version has against an hypocritical nation. Well, of course, if you are an hypocritical nation, then you are, in fact, an ungodly nation. I will send him against this hypocritical, ungodly nation. And, of course, war will ensue at the time when the great tribulation will start. We read more and more about Europe coming together, many times in reaction to what is happening in the United States of America. And, of course, that's prophesied. That's going to be a very powerful, mighty military force. And they will finally think that they can attack the United States of America, and they will. And they even will be successful. In Isaiah chapter 9, I like to turn to this one at verse 17. Notice what God is saying about this nation. The leadership and the people. Isaiah 9 and verse 17. Therefore the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. Well, that's a very strong statement. Now we should understand from the Bible then, when it talks about everyone, there are exceptions. But the overall majority is described this way. And that's why God is angry. And that's why God will do something to bring about, perhaps, a change in the future when Christ returns. Now, what does it all mean to us? Is there an escape for us? Do we have to be a hypocrite? No, of course not. We can be different if we want to. Most people today don't want to. Most people today are by no means guiltless. They are culpable. The Bible talks about the fact that they are willingly ignorant. They don't want to know the truth. But you and I can be different. And God offers us protection. Notice Isaiah chapter 33. But remember now, we already read that we have to get out of this climate of hypocrisy, even in our own minds. In Isaiah chapter 33, we read in verse 14, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" See, when these times come, these horrible times of the Great Tribulation, as bad as it has never been before and never will be, there will be an escape for some. And he is asking the question, well, who can escape that? And there he is giving the answer in verse 15. "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense or protection will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure." But this requires that we are not acting like the ones who we have heard about today in the sermonette. Because the Great Tribulation is upon us. Let's make no mistake. Where are we in biblical prophecy? That is the next event which is going to happen. And it is going to happen soon. But the place of safety is waiting for us too, which is being described here in this passage we just read and also in many other places. But it's only waiting for us if we qualify, if we become worthy, by casting aside all hypocrisy and avoiding it like a plague.